today we begin this six-part series of messages that will take us up to Pentecost Sunday. And the title of the series, as you can see on the cover of your bulletin, almost kind of a heroes kind of theme, you know. There's a lot of that out lately. The idea is that this one word should be pronounced with a certain popping of the P. Empowered. Can you say that with me? Empowered. Look at your neighbor and don't spit on him and say empowered. There you go. You got the idea. Okay, you can stop now. Some of you are having too much fun with that word. So over the next six Sundays, we are going to discover how the Holy Spirit empowers us in six areas. How to pray, love, serve, worship, encourage, and start again. And on the Sunday when we deal with start again, that's Pentecost Sunday. And how many of us know that Easter was all about the question of can Christ rise from the dead? But that Pentecost was the question, can Peter rise from the ashes? Can he still preach? Can he still minister? Does God give a second chance? And on that Sunday, we're going to have Louis and Priscilla Miro come back. And they are going to share with us the journey that they've had from really a great problem that many of you know about to where now God has given them a new lease on life. And I really believe Pentecost is effective for that purpose, don't you? Because it was on Pentecost that Peter was pulled out of the crowd and God said, I want to use you for this particular thing. And all the other themes, some of the pastoral team will be sharing with me, and we're really looking forward to it, very excited about this series. But we're going to kick it off this morning with the theme, Empowered to Pray. Say that with me. Empowered to Pray. And our text is Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. Romans chapter 8. I don't know about you, but Romans is such a lofty epistle. And then when you get into chapter 8, that is the pinnacle of the whole thing. And when you get into these verses, most of us could probably quote the ones that are our text today by memory, at least partially. For St. Paul writes it in verse 26, he says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know, do you know this? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Since this message is about prayer, I think we should pray, don't you? Lord, we ask right now that this word would become living to each one of us. That though we know it by memory, it would become part of our spiritual metabolism. Lord God, we all think we know how to pray, but the fact is your word says that we really don't. But we thank you that there is someone who can help us to pray. And we ask God that that person, the blessed third person of the Trinity, would not just be in attendance during this gathering, but that he would be master of ceremonies. And he would guide us into all truth. Fill me with your spirit for the purpose you've assigned, I ask, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen. So when we pray, we essentially enter into a conversation with God. The simplest Greek term for prayer means to exchange wishes. It's more than greetings. It's to share with one another the things that are important in our lives and how we want those to be better. So in prayer, we usually start with us speaking to God. And believe it or not, God wants to speak back to us. Don't you believe that? It's a conversation. The thing is, we are so often in a hurry that we just spit on God and then we walk away and we don't really wait for him to respond, which is not only rude, but it is lacking in understanding as to what prayer really is. It is a conversation. It is surprising some people to know that there are occasions when God wants to initiate the conversation. Did you know that? God initiated a conversation with me in the shower today, and he spoke to my heart and said, I want you to pray for these three or four pastors that are going through some issues. And I didn't even think about that, but he just broke into my reverie and my listening to music and such. And he does that from time to time, doesn't he? And then we need to respond in kind. We need to say, yes, Lord, that's I get it, or could you give me some clarity on this so I can understand it a little bit better? We make prayer so boring, but it's meant to be exciting. Think of this. You have the privilege of being able to have a conversation with the creator of the whole universe. That's far better than conversation with anybody else on the face of the globe. Either way, whether we initiate it or God initiates it, it never was meant to be a one-way street. It was always meant to be something whereby we are conversational. And neither was it meant to be just a long list that we add to regularly. Sometimes we take something off. It's not meant to just be a list that we go through. Don't get me wrong. You should have a prayer list. You should have a prayer journal. You should mark when God answers prayer. But there are things that God sometimes wants to intrude in, and he wants to look at that list, and he wants to say, that's all well and good, but I've heard those for the last month. There are some fresh things. I want to speak to your heart, and I want you to pray so that I can intervene on planet Earth. See, prayer was and still is primarily a conversation between the Creator and the created. And the first conversation on record is found very early in the Bible. It's in Genesis 3. Believe it or not, since it's a conversation with God, it qualifies as a prayer, right? And it tells us that God came down in the cool of the evening, and he was strolling, and it's probably anthropomorphic because God doesn't have legs and so forth, but it is explaining to us that he had this very endearing sense of wanting to talk with those that he had created, even though he was so far more superior to them, had so much more of an IQ, so much more power, and yet he wants to talk to people like them, and he wants to talk to us. Does that ever surprise you? That absolutely blows my mind. But when he came down on that particular day, the first time any prayer is recorded, and he was walking in the cool of the garden, he was looking for someone to have a conversation with, they were nowhere to be found. Where were they? They were hiding. They were hiding because they had sinned. And sin will keep us from prayer. And sin will keep us from God. So when God called them, they didn't come. Communion had been broken. And from that day to this, our prayers have continuously been hampered and hindered. Did you know that? None of us have ever prayed a fully altruistic, completely selfless, totally Holy Spirit ordained prayer. Because as long as we are in the flesh, we just never will fully do that. And that's why Paul writes, and I want you to follow this closely, because I'm going to say some things that may sound strange to some today. But that's why Paul writes in today's text right away, we do not know how to pray as we ought. We do not know how to pray as we ought. Say that with me. We do not know how to pray as we ought. And I want to share with you this first observation right out of the chute. We do not know how to pray correctly. No one in this room knows how to pray correctly. We are really, really good at it. And why not? Because of sin. We are like spiritual dyslexics, looking at a page with jumbled letters. And we're trying our very best to make sense out of it, but we can't. We are like people like myself who have astigmatism. When we take off our glasses, everything is foggy. We see things wrongly, and we see things backwards. And I could give you a lot of verses on this, but I'll just give you one from the book of James chapter 4, where it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend these things on your own pleasures. Someone said to me recently, a relative, we were at table with them in another state, and this person said, Steve, you know all about churches and so forth. I'm looking for another church. Could you help me? I said, well, I don't live in your area here, but maybe I can. I know people different places. Why don't you describe what you would like? And they said, well, I'd like a church where they pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. And I understood by that what they meant, and that's fine. Different strokes for different folks, right? So the idea was they wanted a little of the smells and bells. And God can speak in that particular environment. But I said to them, well, the Lord's Prayer, I understand. Why do you want the Lord's Prayer? Well, I don't know really how to pray, but that prayer is really helpful. Now, I think we would all agree with that. The disciples didn't ask Jesus for a whole lot, but interestingly, they never did ask him, Lord, teach us how to preach or how to cast out a demon or how to heal a leper, how to resurrect a dead person. But they did say, Lord, teach us how to pray, because they knew that none of them, especially Judas, knew how to really pray aright. In other words, even back then, they were agreeing with the Apostle Paul, who had not yet written Romans, much less chapter 8. So they said, Jesus, we want to know how to pray. And in so doing, they agreed with the Apostle Paul, who says here, he doesn't say we don't know how to pray, like mouth the words. In fact, sometimes we may pray and people who have never prayed say, oh, you pray so beautifully. Have you ever had somebody, oh, you need to pray because you pray so beautifully, as though that impresses God. He's not interested in the syntax. He's interested in the hearts. And so Paul says, we don't know how to pray correctly. Notice we, the great apostle Paul, who wrote many epistles in which he had lofty prayers, says, even I don't know how to pray correctly. Please note he included himself. Left to our own devices, our prayers zig and zag all over the place. And they sometimes, on reflection, sound ridiculous even to us after we've uttered them. Lord, please persuade the neighbor with the barking dog to move to another state. God, arrange for the lady who works next to me at work to be transferred to another department. I don't like her. Jesus, I know I shouldn't have bought the lottery ticket, but if you will help me to win, I'll give 15% to the church. Now, I do think that's the will of God right there. Not the lottery ticket, but the 15%. Verily, we don't know how to pray as we should. Let me put it another way. We may know how to pray technically, but not as we should. We have the right words, but we don't have the right attitude. It says over in Isaiah 29:13, these people come near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. We are still, though grown up like little children, now I lay me down to sleep. That's the way God hears our prayers, without what I'm about to tell you about is the second observation. So what are we to do? We're created to pray, but due to the fall, we pray badly. We pray badly all of the time. And then Jesus comes along and he says, I want my house to be known as a house of what? Prayer for all nations. That's why he has ordained Brockton Assembly of God. The most important thing we can do as a church is to pray. That's the most important thing we can do. And yet, Paul says we don't do it well. So what hope do we have? Do you see how we are kind of caught in between and betwixt here? We are commanded to pray, but we don't know how to pray very well. So what is God going to do with these misguided prayers? This leads us to the second observation you'll see. It's very important. Second observation is, aren't you glad? The Holy Spirit will teach us how to pray correctly. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit? Without the Holy Spirit, you and I are just mouthing words into the air. It says in verse 26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, the term weakness in Greek means lack of strength, exhaustion, and sickness. But the Holy Spirit is our helper. That's the word that's used here. He is the one who comes alongside us, and he doesn't lift the whole load, but he helps us to lift the load. He shows us how to lift the load without having our sciatica, spiritually speaking, act up. He is the one who helps us in our inability. And the Apostle Paul knew this firsthand, because the one who wrote the book of Romans also wrote 2 Corinthians. And keep that word weakness in your mind as you turn, if you want to chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, where Paul says, if I must boast, I will boast in my weaknesses. And then he says the following. Let me give you a little backstory. When he began his ministry on his first missionary journey, about 12 years before, he was almost killed, almost stoned to death. And it is assumed that at that time, maybe his spirit left his body and he went to paradise, he says, and there he heard inexpressible things, things that he could not talk about. Now, the average person who dies and supposedly goes to heaven in our day and time writes a bestseller. Have you ever noticed that? They write books. They can't footnote it, but they've seen this and that and saw grandma and whatever. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but they come back and they go on the road and they tell their story and they give their testimony and they sell their books. But God did not do that or allow that for Paul because he knew it would spoil him. And so he gave him something called a thorn in the flesh to keep him from getting proud. Have you ever been inclined to rebuke something that God gave you, even when it wasn't good? See, that's why we don't pray as we ought, because the first thing I would do if I had a thorn is try to get it out, wouldn't you? That can't possibly be God's will. This situation can't possibly be God's will. Oh no, we've got to rebuke it. We've got to send in something to a television evangelist or whatever. But he goes on to write, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded or prayed with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. There's the word. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am made strong. What a powerful word. Paul wanted the thorn taken out. That was his prayer. But the Bible says we don't know how to pray right. What did Paul know? Greatest apostle who ever lived, but he is under the umbrella of, we don't know how to pray as we ought. Paul, you don't know how to pray as you ought. In fact, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, in his human frame, was tempted to pray his will. But then he added, as the Son of God, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus wanted the cup to pass. We all have human natures. It wasn't his fallen human nature that did it. Who wants to go through pain if we can avoid it, correct? But yet the Father wanted him to drink for his sake. Now, we don't always know why it is something that we've prayed about, God doesn't answer until a lot later. In fact, most cases, we will not know till we get to heaven. We will not know. That's where faith comes in. We've got to trust God. But I was thinking last night about a man I met who went to O'Hare Airport in Chicago on May the 25th, 1979 to catch a flight, flight 191 to Los Angeles, American Airlines DC-10. And he got caught in traffic on the Edens, which isn't unusual. And he said he prayed, God help me to make my flight. I'm not going to make and open up a way. But God didn't open up a way. He got there to O'Hare as he saw his flight taking off. Somebody took a picture of it, and you can look it up. As flight 191, just about 6 seconds before it impacts into the ground in Des Plaines, Illinois, killing 271 people aboard. He would have been on that plane. Now, there was a dramatic occasion when somebody looked and said, God, thank you, you didn't answer that prayer. I didn't know how to pray as I ought. Thank you that you didn't answer that prayer. But hear me now. Most answers to prayer are not that theatrical. Most of the time, we get kind of a bad attitude. We walk away and say, God answered that person's prayer, didn't answer my prayer. But you see, it's not our business what God did for that person. It's our business to see what God wants to do for us. The goal of prayer, hear me well, the goal of prayer in this series on empowerment, the goal of prayer is not to get our agenda through to God. It is God's will that he get his agenda through to planet Earth. I'm going to talk about it a little bit tonight, not much. I want to pray. But I want to tell you this, that God wants to use every one of us as a beachhead. You know what a beachhead is militarily? A place where he can come in and he can use our life, use our tongue, use our mind. He doesn't control us like demons. Demons, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. God, you give him an inch, he takes an inch. That's what the surrendered life is all about. We got to look up to God in heaven and say, God, use me to pray the prayers you want to pray. I don't know how to pray as you are, but I'm asking you to come. And he doesn't use us like a dummy or a sock puppet. He comes in and he uses our will. That's why we got to surrender. He says, relax. Let me help you to understand what I want to do on this planet. See, we're trying to get our agenda through in prayer. And that's not the definition of prayer. Prayer is getting God's agenda through to the Father. Is this a little complicated, or are you tracking with me here? So is it acceptable to have a personal prayer list and our own? Of course. But don't turn it into a mindless ritual. Expect the Holy Spirit to break through and say, enough of that. I want you to pray for the following things right now. Has that ever occurred to you? Maybe same thing is true of healing. You know, God wants to save everybody. So you can never be wrong when you pray for an unsaved person. Did you know that? However, the way we do it can be wrong. Because sometimes maybe we're praying, oh, God, send somebody to minister to them. And God's saying, I want to use you. What's wrong with you? Or how about healing? How many of us know that sometimes God wants to teach us something about our affliction before he heals us, but we want to run right roughshod into just get this thorn out of me. And God says, yeah, but I've got a lesson I want to teach you first. And you aren't getting it. See how we don't pray right? And then the Holy Spirit comes in and says, if you will just relax and let me pray through you, pray for you, you'll see things change. And that is where, brothers and sisters, being a Pentecostal and believing in the Holy Spirit in a very unique way is extremely helpful in the prayer life. What do I mean by that? I mean that the Holy Spirit knows things we don't know. The Holy Spirit can do things we can't do. I don't know how to pray, but I know somebody who can pray through me. I know somebody who can use me. And I know that we've got a list over there in 1 Corinthians 12, for example, word of knowledge. Did you know God will speak things to you you do not know? It doesn't mean you shouldn't study. Go to a library. We should be educated. I had one guy say to me, I'm just dumb enough to believe. And I said to him, if you're dumb, you don't believe. Because you have to have a certain amount of common sense to be able to believe. But I know what he was trying to say. He was trying to say, I need to have faith. We do need to have faith. God will give us a word of knowledge. God will give us divine wisdom. Isn't wisdom a spiritual gift? God will give us a jolt of faith. Have you ever prayed for people and you're just mouthing the words? And then on occasion, God will give you faith. This is going to be done. I just need to stand up and I need to go and believe that God is going to do this. And even if I'm risking getting egg all over my faith, then so be it. God will help us to distinguish between spirits when we're talking to someone. You say, really? Yes, this isn't just for special people in the church. This is for everybody. Everybody is called to pray, and everybody can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to pray. So what Paul says is, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit will help us in our weakness. Anybody weak here today? The Spirit, you're just the kind of person God wants to use, because you know that if God doesn't intervene, it's not going to happen. It's when we're all proud and boastful that things can't happen. It says over in John 16, the words of Jesus, the night that he instituted this meal. He said, but when he, then he qualified it, the Spirit of truth, who's that? The Holy Ghost, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. So that's not just prophecy. That is God going ahead of you saying, over here, zig and zag with me. Don't zig and zag according to your temperament and your thinking. Follow me, and I will show you the way. Again, we don't know how to pray correctly, but the Holy Spirit is willing to teach us if we will let him. He will empower us to pray. Do you believe that this morning? He will empower us to become what the church is supposed to be, a house of prayer, real prayer for all nations. The early church needed a practice, hear me, to be led of the Holy Spirit in their corporate prayer life. Check out how often the disciples prayed before the day of Pentecost. Not much. Well, not much that they knew of. They were standing right there with Jesus. I mean, Jesus was right there. I wonder if when they prayed over the food, they ever opened their eyes and saw Jesus smiling across the campfire saying, you're welcome. You're welcome. It was praying to Jesus. Jesus was right there. They didn't even know they were talking to him until later. Didn't our hearts burn within us? We didn't have a clue. We didn't know who he was. He taught us how to pray and everything, and we didn't even do anything but write down the words, our Father in heaven, etc., and memorize it. But on the day of Pentecost, from that day forward, check out the book of Acts. This is your assignment between now and Pentecost. Read the book of Acts a couple of times and notice how often they prayed and how often they initiated the prayer and how often the Holy Spirit said to them, this is what I want you to do. There's somebody praying over there, and I want you, Peter, to stop what you're doing, and I want you to go a day's journey and talk to this Roman centurion and tell him about the Holy Spirit. See, he can never have come up with that because Peter prayed wrongly, and he is such a glaring example of it, but so do you and I. But the Holy Spirit will help us. After Pentecost, because they were filled with the Spirit, they now knew not how to pray themselves, but they knew how to yield to the one who knows how to pray, to the one who gives us the words, to the one who will lead us. He's not just going to take your tongue and flap it around, but he will help you. He will help you. I remember when I was a boy, and I've told the story before, so bear with me. But my parents were missionaries in kind of the olden days when you didn't come home from the field for everything, and they literally buried missionaries on the field due to dysentery, malaria, all these diseases. I was called in one night, and my father was in bed, and all the leaders of the church were around him, and they were praying. There was blood, I remember it, all over the bed sheets. He had tropical dysentery, and he was so weakened that he was supposed to die that very night. And I didn't know it, but I was called in as just a little boy to basically say goodbye to him, give him a kiss on the cheek, walk out, and never see him again until he was in his casket. And yet the next morning, though he was supposed to be dead, he was up and around. We came back to the United States and went to a little church in Georgia. And at the end of the meeting, of this little lady who was totally unremarkable came forward. She kind of hobbled up and she said to my father, where were you on? And she mentioned a date that was about, I don't know, a year before. Where were you? And my father said, I don't know. She said, think back. And he thought back, and that was the very night that he was dying. She said, I don't have much, but God has given me a ministry of prayer. And I get this magazine from Springfield called Call to Pray. And every night before I go to bed, I open it up and I pray for missionaries who have birthdays that day. And it was June the 14th. And I came upon your picture. And it was unremarkable. I prayed and then I put it down and went to sleep. And at 3 a.m, God woke me up. And I didn't know what God woke me up for. But he told me to open that magazine. And I opened it and I looked across June 14 and your picture just jumped out. There was like a light behind it that illuminated it. And God said, the Holy Spirit said, get out of your bed and pray for that man until I tell you to stop. She said, I got up and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And about 6 o'clock in the morning, the burden lifted. I went back to bed and I always wondered about it. I didn't know who to ask. But then I heard you were coming here and I thought I would ask you. June 14. I was praying for you. And God healed you. God ministered to you. You know, God is willing to do that all the time. I mean, you're probably not going to have it to you happen every single day, but it should happen a lot. It should. It should that we get a word about somebody and that we bear their burdens. But where are we? And please, I'm not rebuking anyone, but we think prayer is coming up to the front and somebody praying for us, but how about if we reverse that and we begin to say, God, help me to pray for somebody else. Help me to be sensitive. See, a quality of that kind of sensitivity is we can't be in a hurry going everywhere. We got to give room for God to move in our lives. Our prayer time can't just be a devotional. I read the Bible 3 chapters and I go through my list and that's it. There are times that's as good as it gets for a day, but there are other times God's going to intervene. You know what's going to happen then? Let me bring you to observation number 3. God is going to work in all things for the good. All the things you thought were bad, God is going to turn around, and through the alchemy of the Holy Spirit, he's going to turn it out for the good. Now notice, it's only for those who love the Lord. Membership has its privileges. And this is one of them. This is not a promise for the unbeliever. This is a promise for you and me. But how many of us know that if we aren't careful, we got to go through a lot of stuff before God can work it out to the good? So that doesn't mean just go out and mess up and then say, God, would you fix this because we've got a promise in your word. No, no. This promise in the word is according to his purpose. He will work all things, even the bad things out, for his honor and glory. That's why we have Pastor Louie and Priscilla coming back on Pentecost, because that happens. But how many of us know you don't want to go through a lot of pain unnecessarily? If you can avoid it, avoid it. So the Holy Spirit, it says, wants to pray through us. Read the text. Read this very carefully. And sometimes, listen, sometimes those prayers, it says, are in wordless groans. Have you ever prayed like that? When was the last time we were so immersed in a prayer that we did not know how to verbalize it? That the Spirit of God was on us and we were praying for someone or something and we didn't know. We knew, oh God, help my child. Right? And you, have you ever done that? You begin to groan. Have you ever done that? Oh God, I can't believe that. I can't believe the news I just got. Oh my God. And I'm not talking about using his name in vain. That's why we should be careful not to say what I just said unless we mean it as a prayer. Oh my God. Help. 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 And then you go into like a spiritual Spanglish. You know what I'm talking about? You know what Spanglish is? Spanglish is actually a language that combines English and Spanish, and it's spoken different ways. Like, I do it all the time with Mike Rivera in the office. You know, I'll say, oye, let's go get breakfast, hombre. Hay un lugar nuevo que está en como una cuadra, so come on, get your coat and let's go. Now, only a few people understood what I just said, but that's Spanglish. Did you know that we can do that with the unknown tongue? There have been many times I'm speaking in English and I exhaust myself. I don't know what I'm, so I have to say, God, help me to pray. I don't know what to say. And you're not looking for me to say a whole lot, so why don't you just use me? And you don't go into a trance or something like that, but God begins to minister not only to you, but through you. And there is a pleasure of God ministering to you. But there is an unknown pleasure for most believers when God wants to minister through you. When God says, I've chosen you of all people to be in charge of this mission today. And I need to use you to pray. And we know that all things work. Let me read this. And we know that you know that in all things God works for you. God works. Those who love him, you love God today, and have been called according to his purpose. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here's how prayer works. The Holy Spirit comes in you. That's the closest you'll be to the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is in you. Do we get this? The God who made us is in us. Now, he's omnipresent. He's in the furthest galaxy at the same time, but he's in us. He stirs us to pray like he did Abraham. Pray for Sodom. Pray for Gomorrah. He begins to pray. Where does that prayer go? To Jesus Christ, who's at the right hand of the Father. The accuser of the brethren is standing right by Jesus, trying to convince Jesus that we don't deserve to have the prayer answered because we are sin, and therefore we don't know how to pray as we ought. But Jesus says it doesn't make any difference. I got him covered. I paid the bail. Nothing you say can make a difference. And he takes your prayer to the Father, and the Father then answers the prayer. And sometimes when God sends his envoys to answer the prayer to you, how many of us know, according to the book of Daniel, there's a big fight. It doesn't always come through easily. That's where we need to understand prayer is one of the hardest fought battles that there is. If you are not battling in prayer, you probably aren't praying anywhere close to right. Because there is a joy in prayer when we're praising him and worshiping him, isn't there? But every single one of us at some point have been called to fight. This is not a playground. This is a battleground. Do you think for a moment Satan's going to give up on Brockton all that easily? Absolutely not. I've been convinced this more and more. Because there are more of the devil's disciples running around than there are Jesus' disciples. Potentially. But that can change. If you and I will really believe that God can work through us. Notice in the book of Acts what happened as soon as Jesus went back to heaven. It says they all joined together constantly in prayer along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Hey, if Mary needed the Holy Spirit to pray. How about us? I'm not praying to Mary today. I respect Mary. I think she was the greatest mother around, at least in terms of what God's opinion was of her. My mother was great. My wife was a great mother. I've got daughters and hopefully granddaughters who will one day be great mothers. But Mary was the greatest, and yet we don't pray to Mary. She needed the Holy Ghost too. If Mary needed the Holy Ghost, you and I need the Holy Ghost. Question. Did they know what they were praying for when they went to the upper room? Not a clue. Not a clue. Have you ever had that happen? That you got to be ready for that. For God said, Jesus said, wait and tarry and pray. And they say, for what? You'll find out. They pray for 10 days and they don't know what they're praying about. That's how revival comes. And then all of a sudden, God breaks through. There were 500 people who saw Jesus ascend to heaven, only 120 in the upper room, and that's very typical. Come tonight, but you will find that there won't be as many people as are here in the morning, because we're great for the ascension, but going to the prayer room, that's a different story altogether. But that is where God works. That is where God works. The Bible says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Here's what I want to challenge all of us to do as we conclude today. And that is, I don't want you to come to the front. When I say I don't, it's not my exercise. I just feel God impressing me with this. Not to come to the front for prayer. To be anointed. To pray, you know, to be healed or whatever. God will do that. How many of us know God will do that? But I found that more often when I'm ministering to somebody else, that's when God comes in and does a breakthrough in my life, and I didn't even know it. What we need are some people who will say, I don't exactly know how to pray as I ought, but Holy Spirit, I welcome you to use me as an instrument of prayer. And I believe you. That you, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, are going to work all things for the good because I love you and I obey you. We need some people who will leave here and just say, I'm going to be more sensitive to looking around and listening and saying, God, how do you want to use me in prayer, right? Not just the same old prayers I've got on my list. Perhaps some new prayers. Perhaps some prayers of the moment. As I said today, I got up and I wasn't equipped to hear some of the things that I heard, but wanting to be sensitive to God, there they were. You stop. You don't have to pray a long time. Don't have to close your eyes, especially if you're driving. But when I pray with, I sometimes will be talking to someone and I'll say, listen, I'm going to pray with you, but if you don't mind, I'm not going to close my eyes because I don't want to see Jesus quite yet, but I am going to pray with you. So it's very simple. Let's all stand. And if you want to be available, and your absence at the altar is not going to be judged, but you just say, you know what? I don't know how to pray as I ought, but I do want the Holy Spirit to work through me. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I need to just say, God, I'm willing. I haven't been really doing this. I've been going about my merry way. Haven't been doing bad things, but I want to be used of God for eternity. And I want to be used in my prayer life. Empowered to pray. Empowered to pray. If you want to be empowered to pray, would you just come up here and stand for a final prayer with me? Just come on right now, if you would. Pastor John.
Oh Lord, you're beautiful.
Use us, Lord. To have breakthroughs.
Your face.
We don't know what we're doing, Lord, but you know. Jesus. Jesus.
And when
your eyes
are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Take your word and shine it on me. to never seek a crown, for my reward is giving glory to you.
Light the fire, Lord.
Oh Lord, please light the fire.
Sing this part as a prayer. Let's just lift our hands to God. Receive anew the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to do this every day. Receive anew the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray over you now and agree with me. Oh Jesus, Son of God, our Savior and Lord, I bless you today. We all bless you. Thank you for the Father. Thank you for the Son, triune God, but we thank you for the Holy Spirit because that's where it all begins. We don't have to go far to encounter the Holy Spirit. You live within us. And some of us have not felt you in our hearts for so long because you've been grieved by what we've done, by what we've said, by our behaviors. The reality is that once you are in our lives, you don't get out and stand to the side as we have an argument or we get drunk or whatever it may be. You're grieved. We can't have a conversation. Communication is thwarted. But if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we're signing up for this mission that really has been ours all along. We don't know how to pray. We just don't know how to pray. But oh God, we know the one who can pray through us. So Holy Spirit of God, empower us. Help us to pause and to listen and to pray the prayers you want us to pray. You're going to reveal some things to us that were there all along, but now that we are attentive, we're going to see the blind man at the gate beautiful. He was there all along, but we're going to see him. And we're going to be able to speak in the name of Jesus. Maybe it won't be that flashy. Maybe it'll be picking up the phone at just the right moment, making a call or sending a card or whatever it is that we are called to do, help us to do it in obedience to you. And then help us in our prayers to be filled with your Spirit. And then, oh God, we pray you would indeed, as your word says, work all things to the good. Work them all out. Everything's not good, but like Paul found with the thorn in the flesh, it can be working to the good if we will allow it. We want to be a church of prayer. We want to be a people of prayer. So as we begin this empowered series, help us to start out with what you consider the priority to be. Prayer that is led of the Holy Ghost. Whatever you want us to do this week, whatever you want us to do this afternoon, we stand ready. It's not an interruption when you come knocking. We are here to serve you, Almighty God. Dismiss us by your grace, we pray in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise.
Thank you, Lord.
And now let's just go do what God tells us to do. Amen.